There we go.
That's good.
What's the gospel lesson?
The wedding feast.
Luke 14, is that it?
No, Matthew 22.
Oh, Matthew 22.
He burns their city, and then the guy with the garment.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'll let you do that.
Yeah, thank you. It's a tough one.
Okay, so Isaiah 25, 6 through 9. One way to understand this theologically as well as homiletically is to go back to chapter 24, verses 8 and a little part of 9. 24 through 27 is this so-called Isaianic apocalypse. So we move from the oracles against the nations in 13 to 23 to this more cosmic scope. And this chapter 24 talks about cosmic destruction and judgment. Verse 8, Shabbat. So there's a ceasing, like a Sabbath of joy of the tambourines. Cease the noise of Alizim. Alaz is another word for gladness, rejoicing. So that noise is Kadal, cease. A Sabbath of the Mesos, joy again, of the Kinnor, the harp. And in verse 9, by means of the song, Lo Yishtu Yayin, they do not drink wine. So one way to structure your sermon is to begin with the idea that in chapter 24, the party's over. All right? There's no more gladness, there's no more rejoicing, there are no more instruments, the tefim and the kinnor, and no longer will they drink wine with a song. So in light of cosmic judgments, then there is this cosmic restoration, where they're drinking a lot of wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines, and they have a song to sing. In verse 9. All right, so far from the party being over, it's just begun. So let's go to verse 6 here in chapter 25. And we want to notice that Yahweh is the subject of all the verbs through verse 8. All right, so he's the one. That's doing all of this. So Yahweh Tzevaoth, General Yahweh, he will do, act, make, create. See, Asah can mean create. And this is this universal appeal. L'kol ha'amim. For all the people, so we have a universal idea, and then we have the particular, the Har Hazeh, on this mountain. And we already know from chapter 2, 1 through 5, chapter 11, verse 9, would be at least a couple points of earlier contact in Isaiah where Yahweh's restoration is going to happen on Mount Zion. Sometimes it's called Har Zion, sometimes it's called Har, a lot of times it's Har Kodshi, my holy mountain. So it's universal in its invitation, but it's particular in where the party is. And then we have all of these just kind of colorful words. Shittah is simply the Hebrew verb to drink, and a prefortive may makes it into a feast, a drinking kind of an event. Shemanim, shemen is the Hebrew word for fat. So fat feasts, of course, probably idiomatic for rich feasts, a feast of kind of the best drink and wine. And then it goes on to repeat Mishteh again, Shemarim, Shemanim, Shemarim. And here we just have like the bottom of the barrel. I mean, it's translated like lees or dregs. But apparently, when I think of it, I think, I don't want to drink this stuff. But it's aged. See, it's aged. So in that sense, you know, people can understand, you know, aged wine. And then we have more, and the fat word again, shemanim, fat, and then this pu'al participle from mem het hey. And it's masculine plural to go along with the fat word, shema neem. Makah just means to wipe. Quite often, like in Psalm 109, you know, the psalmist in an imprecatory way prays for his enemies to be wiped out from Yahweh's book of life. So a lot of times it's you're just completely annihilated. Here, you know, translators, interpreters don't quite know what to do with this. But it's fat that's been, you know, pu'al, the fat having been wiped. So apparently, this is really good fat. Because it's been wiped, you know, garnered from the best place. And then you have, back to the lees word, the dregs, shemarim, and then we have another pu'al participle from Zion, kof, kof, which means to refine. So the dregs, the lees, the bottom, the best part has even been refined. Yeah, I just memorized this from the NIV. The best of meats and the finest of wines is, you know, probably getting to the point here. Well, why is that? Because he will swallow bala. That's a peel from just a Beth Lamed Ayin. And whenever there's a bala'ing event, it's always an act of judgment. All right? So Aaron's rod swallows the Egyptian magician's rod. And in Numbers chapter 16, Korah and his congregation are swallowed by the earth. Jonah swallowed by the dog, the dole. So it's always negative. It's an act of judgment. So he will, we're assuming this is General Yahweh, you know, the one in battle, see, why is there this great beast? He will swallow, see, upon this mountain, same mountain, Mount Zion, the face of the covering, literally, the covering upon all Kol Ha'amim. So just note that this is the second time we have Kol Ha'amim, and the second time we have Bahar Hazeh. So again, the universal and the particular. And then a Maseka is just another word for a covering, a shroud. The shroud, the one covering, and here we just have a, this is from the sock, you can see this, a called passive participle, feminine singular, to modify the noun maseka. So the covering, that is the one being covered, upon all the goyim, all the nations. So the amim would be kind of, generally speaking, ethnic groups, although amim and goyim can be interchangeable. But, you know, in some contexts, that indicates an ethnic group, whereas a goy would be a political group. So not only every ethnic group, kol ha'amim, we have that twice, now every political group, you know, the red states and the blue states. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's, you know, invited. Now you kind of have to ask the question: what's going on with the shroud or this covering? Most interpreters think it has something to do with shame, disgrace, and so, you know, at least homiletically, we always see fans show up at games when their team's not doing good. They put grocery sacks on their heads. So that's kind of what the people are doing. They're ashamed. There's disgrace. They don't want their face to be seen. Well, then we have a nice repetition here. What's he going to swallow on that mountain? Well, okay, he's going to swallow the shrouds and the coverings, see. But even more to the point, he will swallow up death forever. Now we kind of have a flag on the play here. There's probably, you see that the apparatus says, read with a few medieval manuscripts, a vav in front of the bait. And that would make sense. In other words, they want the technically the shurek that's in front of the first word in verse 7 to also be paired with the balah in verse 8. Although, Isaiah, just like any other Hebrew writer, is not going to be bound by these perfect and imperfect aspects that we get so mesmerized with. A lot of times, if the first verb is going to be this is technically in verse 7, vilah, a pl perfect vav consecutive, right, third masculine singular. So the context then would just invite another vav consecutive perfect or just an imperfect. A future idea is what we have in the context. So we may need not amend the text, but just simply read by context. And even the first verb in the text is called perfect vav consecutive. So anyway, he will, either way you understand, if you amend the text or you just go with the context, he will swallow up hamavet la natzek. He will swallow up the death forever. So to understand the pun here, in Canaanite mythology, Mot was the great swallower, right? Towards the end of summer, August, early September, in at least the Palestinian agricultural cycle, Baal, or Hadad is his proper name, would be swallowed by Mot. A lot of the artwork, from Ugaritic archaeological findings, pictures Mot with this really big, gaping mouth wide open. So the swallower has been swallowed, see, forever. And this kind of theology shouldn't surprise us in this part of Isaiah. And here's the same verb we had earlier in that pu'al participle, makah. Here it is, just a call perfect, vav consecutive. Lord Yahweh will wipe dimah, a tear literally, me'al kol panim, from upon every face. So it goes every ethnic group, every political group, so which is kind of general. Now it's very personal. Every face, see, the tear, which would help us understand why we have these shrouds and covers earlier in verse 7. The kir pat amo, construct chain, right? So it makes definite with the pronominal suffix vav holam amo. The disgrace of the people. Which again, the tears, disgrace, helps us interpret the shrouds and covers. Yasir, Hifil from Sewer, he will cause to set aside from upon Kol Ha'aretz. So that's our fourth universal idea. So in case we're kind of slow, we think, okay, all ethnic groups, all political groups, all faces. Oh, he must mean the whole earth. See? And Isaiah doesn't do this very often. Ki de Yahweh deber. He does this three times in the whole book. Here, and then in 40 verse 5, which is this pivotal text, right? All flesh will see the glory of Yahweh together because the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. And one other time in the third part of the book, which escapes me right now. So this seals the deal. The word of Yahweh, this almost frames the second part of the book, right? In 40 verse 8, it endures forever. And then 55, 10, and 11, it always accomplishes that through which Yahweh sends it. So that's why this is going to happen. Not because we can see it or feel it or predict it or sense it. See, it's just Yahweh said it, so we'll believe it. Because we're living kind of in chapter 24, where there's no wine, you know, and there's no song. There's no joy in Mudville, because, you know, mighty St. Louis Cardinals have struck out. So it kind of stops there. You see the Pesukah there, the Masoretic text. But the pericope goes on in verse 9. And here, you know, he will say, yeah, we might just kind of keep that. I'm sure the versions, you can see that in the apparatus, the great, you know, Isaiah QA, the whole text of the book, the Syriac, and I'm sure others want to make this, and they will say, but you know, with the emphasis on every face, you could say, each person will say, see, or he will say. But Yom Ha'u, on that day. Now the question is, why does Isaiah tell each person what they will say on that day? On what day? On the swallowing day. See, the idea is, he'll tell you what you're going to say on that day, and guess what? Start practicing now. See, yeah, that's called Christian worship, right? You start practicing now. The absolution, see, is what? That's a foretaste of the final verdict, right? And so is the gospel, and so is the Eucharist. It's all anticipatory of the final wedding feast of the Lamb that has no end. Okay, so let's start saying it now. But he tells us what we'll say on that day. Behold, Eloheinu Zeh. Behold, this is our God. Zeh would be demonstrative pronoun that we've already had several times. Here, it is in a position that forms a nominal sentence. This is our God. And one of Isaiah's very frequently used words, kavah, in the appeal, it means to wait. We waited, upon him. But people would say, who've studied Kavah a whole lot more than I have, that Kavah is not just waiting, wondering what's going to happen. It's waiting, knowing what's going to happen. Tikvah, preformative tau on Kavah, is the Hebrew word for hope. So it's a hopeful waiting. It's not an anxiety-filled kind of waiting. We waited for him, and, you know, this is the author's name. He Yeshad us. Yeshad is Hifil base, so if we have a Hifil form, we don't have a causative meaning. And he, will, is how we have it there. He will Yeshad us. Or if we probably go with the versions, we can see, I don't know what the Septuagint doesn't have this. It is a little strange. We waited for him and he will save us. I mean, that's what we have. It's a Hifil imperfect. Most versions simply go, or translations, and he saved us. Anyway, Zeh, this is Yahweh. We waited for him. Again, a peal of Kavah. Perfect, first column, plural. And here, see, this kind of gets you back to let us drink wine again with a song, see? So we have gil and samach, which are just standard Hebrew words for rejoicing and gladness. Let us gil, right, there would simply be a call, cohortative, plural, let us gil, and let us samach. Again, both are called cohortative, plural verbs. Let us rejoice and be glad, quite often. Bishu'ato, in his Yeshua, in his Jesus, finally, right? Because that's the way it's going to all happen. So here's your four-part sermon, really quick. Number one, all are invited, okay? All right? Number two, come as you are, all right? Number three, no gifts, please. See, because Yahweh's doing everything. Number four, you can respond to this right now. Okay, well, that's a clipped version due to time on the Old Testament lesson.
And if you want lots of joy, preach on the Old Testament lesson. Because the gospel is interestingly paired, and there are some common themes, of course, of a wedding feast and gracious invitation, but